And that is the first verse of Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Tuesday, November the 20th in the year of our 2018. And with us is our good friend, Pastor Mark Smith.
Hi, Tom. Hey, why don't you just play that hymn over and over and over throughout the whole half hour?
Yeah, I wish I could, except for some reason it's not being taped on my tape, so I don't know. I don't know how to finagle with that properly. So you can just put it in your car. It's one of the hymns you don't like that much.
Are you kidding? Oh, I love this hymn. I just love it.
Really?
I mean, I tell you, I remember hearing that same, I'm sure it was the same rendition of it, driving down the road once. It was on KFUO, and tears welled up in my eyes. It was just so beautiful. Just, I just love it.
You know who wrote it?
Charles Wesley.
Charles Wesley in 17. Why do you laugh?
I don't know. Well,
well, he's not Lutheran.
It's too bad it wasn't Luther, right?
Yes.
Or at least Catherine Wentworth.
Translating it, but you don't have to because Wesley wrote in English.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Yes. Let's see, was he the one that was converted by the reading of Luther's introduction to the Book of Romans?
I think it was Romans or Galatians.
No, it was Romans.
It was Romans.
But I can't remember which of the Wesley brothers it was.
This was Charles.
Yeah.
Yes. The tune is really interesting because it was a tune that they use as a lively folk song from northern France. And it was traditionally sung to a legend about Jesus, who dressed as a beggar, wandered from door to door asking for food and lodging.
Huh. Now I don't get that out of the melody at all. The melody to me, you know, it's just like it says,
yes.
Lo, He comes with clouds descending. The way the music goes, it just sounds like, you know, he's coming down.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had done some study in music, and that was a big point in Luther's writings when it's talking about descending. The notes are descending.
Uh-huh, right.
Or they're right. Rising if you're talking about ascension or this sort of thing. And that's a real art to do. And Charles Wesley, well, this hymn, this tune was chosen, therefore, to do that specifically. By the way, it's not really an end times hymn in this section. It's Advent.
It's Advent hymn, yeah.
Yes.
Of course, you can use it. You can use it at the end of the church year,
which we're doing.
Or you can do it at Advent.
Yes.
It gives you a chance to use it twice.
Before we continue, I have to just share something with you. I was listening to another radio station because they had an interview between a Roman Catholic Monsignor and a rabbi.
Ooh.
And every time you get those two together, you know you're going to hear false teaching. And, well, I knew I would hear from the rabbi, which I did, of course. But the Monsignor, they were talking about creation and evolution. And the host is kind of agnostic. And so he was asking about creation and evolution. And the Roman Catholic Monsignor from St. Louis said...
Yeah.
That we don't have a problem with evolution because we don't take the Bible either scientifically or historically. And I'm sitting there in the car saying, oh, so the history about Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead isn't true, eh?
It's not history. You know, I've always, you know.
That's history.
Exactly. You know what history is? His story.
Yes, that's good. But I couldn't believe, no wonder the Roman Catholics are in such trouble with their priests.
Oh.
Because when you have that kind of theology and believe we're evolution-type people, and it was just ridiculous. I had to turn the thing off because it was so bad. But this is what the majority of our people are hearing, because KFUO is a single station that really hits it right. Yeah, I was having a conversation about this. And I said, when I'm talking to an unbeliever, I don't use the Bible to show him that evolution is wrong or abortion is wrong or certain philosophies are wrong. What I use against evolution is science. What I use against abortion is proper medicine.
Right.
And proper theology instead of philosophy. And so we got to be careful there when we're dealing with unbelievers.
Right.
They're not at all.
No, they're closed to the Word
they're
of God.
They're closed to the Word of God. But it is so obvious. All you have to do is go up to a pregnant woman who's looking forward to the birth and say, how's that thing doing in you?
Yeah, right.
And
how's
she'll
that
get
mass
offended.
Of cells?
Yeah, mass of cells. And, you know, it's just really ridiculous how immoral this country is becoming. But when you have...
Well, so now we've got pot being sold out in for recreational purposes out in Massachusetts.
Oh yeah,
you know.
No, I tell you, there's going to be a lot of more car accidents.
Oh,
and
ridiculous!
It's just you just don't understand how they
God
can
help
do
us.
That.
God help us.
Well, he is. While they were talking, and they only spent a minute on this, you heard about the murder in the Roman Catholic bookstore.
Yes, of course, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the
terrible.
Front page of the headlines today, and they hardly even spoke about that. They got back to their nonsense on evolution.
Well, then there was a shooting in Mercy Hospital in Chicago, too.
You didn't hear about that?
Oh,
no.
Yes. Like, I think about three people killed.
Yes. Well, I hesitate to go into places where there's a sign, no guns allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know guns
will
be in there.
That's a soft target.
That's a soft target. And I tell you, this is crazy that people put that up on doors. Because if you allowed guns, you would have at least some in there, especially in Missouri, where you don't even have to get a permit, who could help protect you. But I understand that there was no protection at all. We, even at Concordia Publishing House, don't have police out front or anything like that. But I wonder if things are going to be changing like they're doing in schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, with
guards. And
so this is going to be a Sunday when maybe more people are looking forward to him returning.
Yeah, that's right. Well, think of the poor people out there in California, like Paradise. Can you imagine the difficulty of the holiday season? I mean, you know, any time, of course, but just imagine that.
Well, whoever thought
they were
going to be worried about the rain coming.
Oh, I know.
But they are. Why?
The mudslides.
Not that.
And what?
Because the houses that were burnt down with the people in them are just like dust and ash.
Right.
And
yeah.
The rain is going to take away
right.
Where they're not going to be able to figure out who the people were who died.
Well, that's true. But think of the mudslides that are going to...
Yeah, I don't know about that.
They're expecting about 4 inches of rain out there.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Here in St. Louis, what's our big danger? Tornadoes?
Tornadoes.
Yeah.
You got to watch out. You know, I mean, tornadoes.
I remember one time when I was going to the Sim, there was an earthquake.
Yeah, the earthquake is always on our minds, too.
Yes.
The St. Madrid.
Boy.
Well, what are we talking? What are we talking about all this stuff?
Because this gets us ready for the first stanza.
Yeah, that's right.
And go ahead with, lo, he comes with clouds descending.
Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Once for every sinner slain, thousand saints attending, swell the triumph of his train. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ the Lord returns to reign.
Yes, lo, he comes with clouds descending. Once more, this is a hymn where you can point to a lot of Bible verses.
Yes,
The thing about clouds is interesting. And I was reading an Old Testament passage where it was very clear that at the same time, both the righteous and the unrighteous will be raised
right.
from the dead.
Oh, yes.
Which destroys this view of the rapture.
Yeah, even those that pierced him will look upon him, right?
Well said. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly the verse I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important. Once for every sinner slain. Why once? Why the word once in there?
Well, because he's not, you know, that's all it took. It is finished.
Yes.
It is finished. I mean, his sacrifice, you know, it's been talking about this in the Epistle to the Hebrews. He didn't have to sacrifice himself again and again like the priest that enters, you know, that enters the Holy of Holies.
Boy, you're really on today. Oh. That's excellent.
Once in a while, I get my sleep, and I'm
yes.
What? But you know, all he had to do was once,
yes.
Once for all, and it is finished.
In fact, my question in the sermon last week is, who here would disagree that sacrifices in the Old Testament took away sins. And, of course, nobody did. And I said, well, I do, because that's what the Hebrews passage says.
Uh-huh.
The sacrifices never forgave sins.
No, right.
And people couldn't understand that. And I said, it's a law gospel thing. There's nothing you do that can ever forgive your sins.
That's right.
And in fact, Jesus himself says in various, and the Old Testament, God isn't interested in sacrifices, but a contrite heart.
Right.
And so the point of the sermon was this, is don't ever do a sacrifice or give an offering to God thinking that therefore you're going to offset your sin.
That's right.
Because
it's a slap in the face.
That's a slap in the face. It's an ulterior motive for your sin. What God looks at, is there faith behind the sacrifice?
Right.
And I said, all the for example, the blood over the doorway was also there to point to the Lamb of God who will come.
Exactly.
Which John the Baptizer figured out.
That's right. The Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world.
And so I made a really big point about what we do only makes a difference if there's proper motivation of faith behind it. So no sacrifice ever forgave sin, the sacrifice itself. What forgives sins is the faith behind that sacrifice.
Okay, for the sake of our listeners,
yes.
Why did God, throughout the Old Testament, ask, why did he set up these sacrificial ceremonies? Why did he do that, Tom, for the sake of our listeners?
If you read the Old Testament, they really got sick and tired. Every time they sinned, they had to do some kind of sacrifice.
Yeah.
And
there were all sorts of different sacrifices.
Well, small sins, grain and stuff.
Yeah,
big
right.
sins, animals
right.
and all. And that was to make them aware of the law. God doesn't fool around with the law. Some kind of sacrifice has to be made. But all the sacrifices were to point forward to what God has said to the serpent, that, yeah, you'll bruise my heel, but I'll crush your head. And so they all pointed forward. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, remember the Judaizers? They were Jews who became Christian and thought that new Christians had to be circumcised.
You had, well, they, not only that, you know, dietary laws and everything.
Everything.
You had to be a full Jew
yes.
before you could really be a Christian.
And Paul says, no, forget about all this new moon stuff and the Sabbaths and
yeah,
all this.
Right.
Because once he came and sacrificed once, and that's why I was hitting once for every sinner slain, there's no need to repeat that.
That's right.
And there's no need for us to do offerings anymore.
Let no man judge you in meat or drink. Rise to a holy
well
day.
Said. Well said.
Right.
And in fact, therefore, when you think about the Old Testament ceremonial laws was a form of law to remind you of your need for a Savior. How do we use the law today? What replaces the ceremonial laws as law is the cross. You want to know how sinful you are? It took the cross.
That's right.
And what's the gospel that replaces the ceremonial say circumcision? What replaces that?
Baptism.
Very good, yes. And many, many people don't have that understanding. They really think that, how many times have you said, well, I went to church this week, so I expect God will give me more blessings or something. Some nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
As though by going there.
You already have the blessing by going there.
That's right.
You know,
That's right.
He's serving you.
Yeah,
it's the
I said,
divine service.
I said to them in the service, you can't get more blessed by going to church or staying away. Because if you're a child of God, he will bless you. Now, sometimes the blessing will come in something negative to remind you of your need for him.
Right.
But that's even a blessing.
Right.
So it's going to be very interesting to be preaching this week. Yeah, you know, like I told you, I've got 17 sermons I'm doing till the end of the year, but none of them are on Thanksgiving Day. Nobody asked me to preach Thanksgiving Day because nobody wants to come to church on Thanksgiving because that's, you know, the women want to cook in the morning
yeah,
and get ready
right.
for the big meals
yeah.
and stuff. Now, our church, St. Paul de Pere,
yes.
does have a Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-huh.
Does yours?
We have a Thanksgiving Day, yes.
Oh, you do?
Now, 1 year, we couldn't get an organist for Thanksgiving Day, so we had it Thanksgiving Eve. But it's always, other than that, it's always Thanksgiving Day.
You're kidding.
Yes, always.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell them where your address is.
8646 New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection. Yes, Thanksgiving Day, 9:30 a.m.
Boy, that's interesting. Be nice if you took a holiday that day and maybe somebody could come and... Well, let's go on to stanza two, please.
Every eye shall now behold him, robed in glorious majesty. Those who set at naught and sold him, pierced and nailed him to the tree. Deeply wailing, deeply wailing, deeply wailing, shall their true Messiah see. Yeah, see, those are the people that rejected him, and even they will see him, you know, they'll deeply wail.
In fact, wasn't that a verse from the Old Testament that you had quoted earlier? That every eye
shall see him, even those that pierced him.
Even those that pierced him.
Right.
Now, when I think about that, there could have been some who pierced him that came to faith.
Right. The Roman centurion recognized who he was.
Exactly.
This truly was the Son of God.
Right, right.
So, yeah, you know, that's not saying that even though you pounded the nails in his hands, they may have repented and been convinced. Well, but, I think of the thief on the cross, of course.
But he didn't put him on the tree.
No.
Yeah,
he railed at him at first.
Yes,
it says they all railed against him, and then he turned.
Yeah, he became converted and said to the other thief, "You know what's happening?
We deserve.
He does not.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the fact that they're wailing would be referring to the unbelievers.
Right. Right.
Yes, but this is a really important verse that every eye shall see him, which totally destroys that view of the, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the rapture.
Right. Oh, I see. You're saying that that they won't be there. If you believe that, they won't be there to see it.
Yeah. If you believe the rapture,
that's
it's
right.
only the Christians that
every
are taken
eye.
To heaven.
Every eye will see him. Even Jonah. No. Who is it? Who is it that made that confession at the latter day upon the earth?
Job.
That was Job, right? And even my own eyes shall see him.
Yes. That's the great Alleluia chorus by Handel. I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer lives. That's right. You are right. Yes. You're always right, Tom.
Thank you. People think you think I'm God because you're always saying that every time. And I'm not.
That is just, for sure.
You don't have to be that. All righty. So, oh, he comes with clouds descending.
I love this hymn.
Yeah, I figured that out. Three.
Those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exaltation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars. There's the raptures in that hymn. How about that?
Yes.
A different type of rapture.
What kind is this rapture?
This is where we're lifted up, where our hearts are lifted up.
Excited.
Excited, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of rapture is okay, right?
Yes. Now, you had asked a question before we started, what Bible verses indicate that the tokens of his nail prints and spear would he still bear?
Right.
I can't think of any.
I can't either.
But that
maybe we're missing one, huh? I don't know.
Or it could be an open question.
Yeah. But there's a lot that's in the hymns a lot. You hear that a lot in the hymns. Well, I like this one. Where
well,
it talks
a lot
about
of them,
his...
though, are referring to the night of the resurrection where he appeared.
Yeah.
And there it was.
There he had the nail prints, right?
Yes, yes. The thing that bothers me a little bit is if Jesus still has the nail prints, then will our not bodies also still have the prints of problem?
Like, you worried about having the same body on the last day, Tom?
but those without arms, those without...
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it would be nice to have that corrected, yes.
I'm glad you said you're right. Okay. Boy, twice in one program. Stanza four.
Yea, amen, Let all adore thee, high on thine eternal throne. Savior, take the power and glory. Claim the kingdom as thine own. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou shalt reign, and thou alone.
Normally you end a hymn with an amen. This one is the second word. So what does it mean, yeah. Yea, amen?
Well, they both mean the same thing. Yes, right. Yes, yes, it shall be so. Yea, yea, or yes, yes, it shall be so. Amen means yes, yes.
Yeah, in fact, in some of the Bible translations where Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell
truly,
you.
Truly, truly, right.
They'll say, amen, amen.
Right.
I tell you.
Uh-huh.
One of the churches I'm helping out with, the organist, always puts an amen at the end of every
hymn. Yeah, that's always the, you know. Some tell me, though, that it's not suitable for all the hymns.
Wait a minute.
I've had organists tell me that some hymns it's fitting. Now, maybe...
I can't think of a hymn that's not fitting.
Maybe Mr. Gehrke, you know, that great organist.
Pastor Henry Gehrke.
Yeah, maybe he can enlighten us on that sometime. Because I understand that some hymns, it's entirely appropriate to have an amen at the end, and some not. Now, I don't understand that. I'm not a
musician.
If
a hymn is speaking the word of God, no matter what it speaks,
right,
then we should say... We shouldn't have a problem with saying amen.
Right.
Because what the amen says is, yes, this I believe.
Yes.
That's what it means. So I can't think of a hymn. It's kind of like the gospel. Some of the gospels, like Matthew 25, and those that have done evil will go into eternal hell. And then, this is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every now and then, wait a minute. It doesn't seem appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the gospel for today. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Thanks be to God. They're all going to hell. But the thanks be to God refers that this is a warning to us. I mean, you can understand it properly,
right.
But it always gets me. It's kind of like, oh, there's so many things in liturgy. How many times have you been in a congregation where the people are sitting when they sing, stand up, stand up?
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I had a seminary student who was from Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he grew up thinking that they're always singing, bless Tennessee, bless Tennessee, bless Tennessee is who comes in the name of the Lord. You know that part of the liturgy. You remember that?
Well,
he actually grew up believing that.
What does it say?
Blessed is he.
Oh, blessed.
Instead of
is
blessed
he.
Is he, he always sang, bless Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's the funny things that you don't realize.
I made a mistake when I was doing adult instruction when I first started. I didn't talk much about the liturgy. And I learned real quickly after that, people don't understand the liturgy.
No.
I mean, how many people know that it's Simeon's song after the Lord's Supper, now let thou...
Right. The Nunc Dimittis.
And boy, does it make a difference when they understand
it. Oh,
that.
It sure does, because you understand why it's placed where it is.
Yes. So I always make a point of bringing the liturgy in adult instruction so that when people are worshiping, they have a better understanding.
And they appreciate it more.
So
they're not going to dispense with it.
Give me your schedules. Thursday, the Thanksgiving service at
9:30 a.m. Thanksgiving Day at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
And then how about Saturday and Sunday?
And Saturday and Sunday, it's Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m.
Are you having a Bible class Sunday, too?
Oh, of course.
What are you studying?
We're concluding the doctrine of predestination. How about that?
Yeah, that takes about 5 minutes to talk about.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's a good one. Well, you have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Tom.
And tomorrow we're going to be on the air to do the next Bible study for those congregations that are studying it together with me. And that'll be tomorrow. Wednesday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.